Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church for our webcast this morning. And we are not yet able to meet to worship in a public fashion, but we're grateful for the means that are open to us, whereby we can meet together, even virtually, and we can come to praise and to give thanks unto the Lord. We're going to... Amen. Let us now bow together in prayer. We're conscious that we need the Lord's presence and His help. And let us each one just take that moment to still our hearts together and ask the Lord to draw near to each one of us. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that this Lord's Day we can enter into Thy holy presence. And we come to Thee, O God, in the name that is above every other name. For we thank Thee that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And as we come before Thee, we thank Thee that there is but one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, how we would praise Thee today for the very privilege of being able to call upon Thy name. And we thank Thee for the encouragement and the promise that is given to us in Thy word. Call unto Me, and I will answer Thee and show Thee great and mighty things which Thou knowest not. And as we would call upon Thee together this day, we do pray, O God, that Thou wouldst draw near to our hearts by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and even our Father, as we would seek Thy face and we would call upon Thy name, that we might realize the blessing and the privilege that it is of being able to fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. We thank Thee for the words of Joseph Scriven when he penned, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And therefore today, O God, we want to come in praise, in worship, and in adoration unto the Lord our God. We praise Thee, our Father, for ever loving us, for ever setting Thy mercy upon us. And we praise Thee, our Father, that Thou hast saved our souls. We rejoice that we're heaven-bound. We thank Thee, our Father, that our sins have been forgiven, cleansed away in the Saviour's precious blood, to be remembered no more against us forever. And we thank Thee, our Father, for our Lord and Saviour, and for that great redemptive work upon that centre tree, the one who loved us, the one who gave Himself for us, the one who bore our sins in His own body as He hung there upon the tree. And, O Lord, today we pray that our Lord and Saviour would draw near to us afresh, even by the power of Thy Spirit. And as we would come, O God, to the means of grace, we do pray that Thou wouldst illuminate the Scriptures of truth to our hearts, and grant, O God, we would have hearts prepared by Thyself, submissive hearts, O God, hearts that would be open to Thy word, that we might receive with meekness that engrafted word which alone is able to save the soul. And even at this time, our Father, we do pray for each one that would gather and would seek to worship Thee. We know, our Father, there are many pressing responsibilities in these days. There are many things, O God, that could occupy our minds, could call away our attention. But we would ask, O God, that Thou wouldst grant to each one of us even that focus of mind and heart, and that even our coming together here in this fashion might bring glory and honour to the name of our Saviour. Bless, O God, today within the hearts of those that would hear. Thou knowest, our Father, the need of hearts. Perhaps some, O God, that have grown cold. Some, our Father, perhaps that are unconverted, unregenerate hearts. And we pray that Thou would speak, O God, and Thou wouldst work by the power of God the Holy Spirit, that precious souls would be saved, backsliders would be restored, and even Thy people would be encouraged and built up in their most holy and precious faith. We want to thank Thee, O God, for answered prayer in recent days and for the touch of the Master's hand. Those, our Father, that have been raised up even from times of illness and from sickness. And Lord, we thank Thee for that, and we would pray for others who are still in need of that touch and body. O Lord, on their behalf, we pray that Thou wouldst intervene and that Thou wouldst answer prayer. And even at this time, O God, we're conscious that the hand of death has been amongst us as a people and as a congregation. And we would pray, our Father, that Thou wouldst draw near to those that would sorrow this day. And we pray, O God, that while they sorrow, that they would sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And we thank Thee, our Father, for that blessed hope in the gospel, and grant that it would be a comfort to the hearts of all who mourn at this time. And so, Lord, we pray not only for the need in this corner, but we would remember every faithful witness. We remember our sister congregations. We pray, O God, for the work that would go on overseas. Lord, every missionary station, strengthen the hand of Thy children. Be pleased, O God, in these days to hear and to answer prayer, and that we would see that divine intervention to the glory and praise of our Lord and Saviour. So, Lord, abide with us now. Do each of our hearts good. We commit our way to Thee in the Saviour's great name. Amen. We're going to read together the Word of God. We're turning to the New Testament Scriptures, to the Gospel of Luke, and we're turning to chapter 17. Luke's Gospel, the chapter 17, and we're coming here to one of the great miracles that were performed by the Lord. Luke chapter 17, moving down to the 11th verse, verse 11, and let us hear God's Word together. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. We'll end there at verse 19. And may the Lord add his own blessing to this public reading from his own precious and infallible word. Again, I want to bid everyone a very warm welcome to our live webcast this morning, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we seek to fellowship together and to worship the Lord. And whatever platform you're joining us across, we trust that you will remain with us and that the Lord will indeed bless your heart. This evening we have our gospel meeting. That's at 7 p.m. and again it takes the form of a broadcast. And in the New Testament we find that the Christian is referred to as a new creature in Christ. And that's what I want us to think about in the gospel this evening, what it is to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. So do seek to join with us tonight for the live broadcast and encourage others as well to tune in, either across Sermon Audio, Facebook, or on YouTube. And then do remember, please, this week, Tuesday night, that's our midweek Bible study. And again, we gather around the screens at 8 p.m. And if you can join us on Tuesday night, we would certainly encourage you to do so. That's our Bible study at 8 p.m. And again, we hope on Tuesday to return to Ephesians chapter 6. Thursday night, we've been having a season of prayer on Zoom. And again, this Thursday night, we encourage you to join in. And that's at 8 p.m. on Thursday. You can log in from 7:45 onwards. And we have good times of fellowship and of prayer together. And we trust that you will do your best to join on Thursday evening. Friday night, the youth fellowship have been meeting over Zoom. And that meeting will continue on Friday evening at 8 p.m. for the young people. Next Lord's Day, our services at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. And next Lord's Day, we have a visiting speaker. It's the Reverend Trevor Baxter. He will be here to minister at both services. I have been invited to speak at our Cumber Church next Lord's Day, and we would value the prayers of God's people for that. Do please remember this week in your prayers, our presbytery will be meeting on Thursday night for prayer, and then after that season of prayer, also meeting on Friday evening across Zoom. And they're seeking to map out a way forward whereby our churches in the coming days will be able to meet again in a public fashion to worship together. So pray that our presbytery will know wisdom on the way that we're to go forward. Then as a congregation, we would want to offer our heartfelt sympathy to the Jess family. Our dear brother, Mr. Eric Jess, passed away just on Thursday afternoon, and we would want to offer our sincere condolences to his wife, Olive, also to Sandra and to Sharon, and to the wider family circle. Our brother was a very faithful member of this church and a very faithful prayer warrior, and he will certainly be missed amongst the fellowship of God's people here. His funeral service is here in the church this afternoon at 2:30 p.m. But it is under the COVID restrictions, and so only 25 people will be able to come into the church building. And they, of course, will be invited by the family. But if others would like to come, they can remain out in the car park in their cars. And we hope to be able to relay the service out on loudspeakers. But if you do come in your car, we would appeal to you to remain in your car for the duration of the time that you're here. Amen. Praise God, his child, and forever I am. We're going to turn once again in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 17, to the portion of Scripture that we have read together, one of those miracles performed by the Lord, great miracle of healing, how these 10 lepers were healed by the Saviour. I want to just center my thoughts around the verse 16 of our Bible reading, and we're reading about one particular leper. It was that one leper who returned to the Lord to give him thanks. And we read there in verse 16 of this leper, and it says that he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And the Lord touched my heart with the words in the center of that 16th verse where it says, giving him thanks. And here we want to look together at a thankful leper. A thankful leper. Let us just unite together in a word of prayer, and you pray that as we come to the ministry of God's word, that the Lord might speak even to your heart this day. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our loving Father, again we do praise thee for thy promised presence with us. And we thank thee, our Father, for the Holy Spirit of God, the one who is the Comforter, the one who is able to draw alongside us, the one, our Father, who is able to enlighten our hearts and our minds according to thy word. And we pray for that needed help from heaven, that spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of enlightenment to be granted. And thou wouldst be pleased, O God, to speak to us each one, even through thy precious word. And as we come, our Father, to think about this individual, about this leper who was thankful, we pray that thou wouldst make each one of us thankful this Lord's day. Do hear us and answer prayer and draw near to help, we pray, in the Saviour's great name. Amen. We have no doubt that while the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth, that many lepers were healed by him, but not all of those miracles were recorded in the scriptures. And therefore, when we read of a miracle recorded in the Word of God, it is there for a particular reason. It is there because it has a particular message, a lesson to convey to the readers. And as we come to look at this particular miracle and of this one leper, we can see that the primary message here that would come out to us is one of thankfulness. Out of the 10 lepers who were healed, it's only this one who returns to the Lord to give thanks to him for what the Lord did for him. And you can see the response of the Lord there when you look at verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Where are the 9? And so it's very clear that the Lord places great importance and places a great value upon that spirit of thankfulness to him. In fact, whenever you come to the Word of God, we find that God's Word commands us to give thanks unto the Lord. And you think of the Psalm 107, and it actually commences with those very words. In Psalm 107 and the verse 1, the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And there are many places in the scriptures. I was thinking of the words of the Apostle Paul. And there in Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 20, he said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we were to take time to dwell upon those words, giving thanks always. My, whenever things are going so well for us and we feel that life is smooth and we're on the mountaintop, it would be easy for us then to give thanks to the Lord. But the apostle here said to the Ephesians, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. You would come across into Philippians and the chapter 4, and there in the verse 6, words that we are familiar with, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so even as we come before the Lord in prayer, we're to come with that spirit of thanksgiving. When Paul was writing to the Colossians in chapter 1 and the verse 12, he said, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And coming into Colossians chapter 2, and there in the verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so Paul, as he speaks to the Colossian believers, he said we should be abounding in thanksgiving. And further on in the New Testament, as Paul was actually speaking to young Timothy, his own son in the faith, and he wrote that first letter, and in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Giving of thanks be made for all men. And so time and time again in the Word of God, we find that it is the solemn duty and responsibility of the individual to give thanks unto the Lord. We would often quote those words from Hebrews 13 and the verse 15, where we're to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Listen, giving thanks unto his name. Giving thanks unto his name. And so the Lord, through his word, shows us the great value that he places upon this spirit of thankfulness. There are so many exhortations that are given to us here. And we know why that is. Because it is so easy for that ungratefulness to rise within our hearts. Whenever things don't seem to be going just the way that we want them to go, it's so easy for that spirit of discontentment to come. Whereas the Lord shows us that as his people, we ought to be a thankful people. And someone might say today, well, you don't know my circumstances. What would I have to give thanks for? Listen, there's always reason to give thanks to the Lord. We can give thanks to the Lord that we're not in hell. That's what we would deserve, justly, to be cast into a Christ rejecter's hell, but my, we're still in that day of grace, in that day of opportunity. If you have asked the Lord into your heart and you're saved, my, we're heaven bound. And so every one of us would have good reason to be thankful to the Lord, no matter what circumstances would prevail at this time. We've always reason to thank the Lord. You know, a failure to thank the Lord is nothing short of sin in itself. In fact, whenever Paul was writing to the Romans in the very first chapter, and if you know Romans chapter 1, you would know that he is speaking there about some vile and some heinous sins. And yet in the midst of it there, in Romans 1 and verse 21, listen to these words, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And there's a sin in the midst of all of the vileness and the wickedness. Here's a sin that we would almost pass over. They were not thankful. Not thankful to God for his goodness, for his grace, for his mercy. And that indicates again to us the importance that the Lord puts upon this need to be thankful to him. Now take time to look at another portion, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you would find there in that chapter, Paul is outlining to Timothy the sort of things that will characterize the end of this age. And speaking about the end times, he describes the end times. And you will find that one of the characteristics that he refers to there is being unthankful. The last days, the days leading up to the end of this age, will be characterized by unthankfulness. And so it is a sin not to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, as we think about this leper in the portion of Scripture that we have read together, we can look at him and we can see that certainly he was one who was thankful to the Lord. He was so thankful to the Lord for what the Lord had done for him. And as we examine his thankfulness, I think it's a wonderful illustration to us, especially those today who were saved. A wonderful illustration of how thankful we should be for what the Lord has done for our souls. Now, when you look at this leper with me, and you look here at his thankfulness, I want you to notice, firstly, the reverence in his thanksgiving. And the reverence in his thanksgiving is seen in his humility. When you look at our text of Scripture there in verse 16, it says that he fell down on his face at his feet. And there he comes with that reverence, and he's coming to give thanks. And that reverence is seen there in his humility. He fell down at his feet on his face. And you couldn't get a more humble position. And here this leper is acknowledging before the Lord his own unworthiness, and that he's one who is undeserving of the mercy that the Lord has just shown to him. You see, the passage has given us the detail there in verse 16 at the end of the verse. It tells us that this man was a Samaritan. And that means really he was viewed as an outsider. He was not of the nation of Israel. He was not a Jew. He was a Samaritan. And whenever you look there at the verse 18, the Lord actually referred to him as this stranger at the end of verse 18. And the stranger there is the word that's used to speak of a foreigner, one who is of another nation. And so it is made very clear to us here in this passage that this man was not a Jew. He was not of the household of Israel. But rather, he was an outsider. He was a stranger. He was a Samaritan. And over in the Old Testament, we find in 2 Kings chapter 17, something of the history and of the background of the Samaritans. And in 2 Kings, the chapter 17 and the verse 24, we read these words: "And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, and from Cutha, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof." And you can see here how the Samaritans came to be in this very place. And on down that particular chapter, in verse 33, it describes those Samaritans. It says, "They feared the Lord and served their own gods, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence." And so, while they had a fear of God, they were an idolatrous people, therefore a sinful people. And because of the whole history there, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, and they were viewed as being outsiders and strangers and foreigners. In fact, the Jews would have looked upon them as dogs. And yet here we have this leper, the one out of the 10 who returned to the Lord and falls down on his face at his feet. One who was undeserving. One who acknowledges here that he had no claim, he had no entitlement to the nation of Israel, nor to the covenant of God. But he knows that if the Lord had not intervened in his life and that leprosy had have prevailed, he was facing certain death. And so we see one who comes here to give thanks to the Lord reverently and with humility, because he knows the Lord has been merciful to him. He has experienced the mercy of God. Do you know, for the saved soul, we have to put ourselves in the position of that leper. Why, whenever you think of the words in Ephesians and the chapter 2, and it well describes there the Gentiles before they ever came to know the Lord. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 12, listen to the description that we have there. It tells us that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And there is a description of the unsaved soul. And when we look back to that time in our own lives when we were without Christ, it says we were aliens, we were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. And yet the Lord had mercy upon us. And through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the door of mercy was opened up to us. And thank God we have received that mercy from the Lord. Here was a man who, when he first saw the Lord, he was far off from the Lord. You may have noticed that in our Bible reading there in the verse 12. It says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They were far off from the Lord. Because of the leprosy, they had to isolate there. They were unclean. Isolation to prevent the spread of disease. That's something that we have become more familiar with in these days. And those who were lepers, they had to isolate themselves outside of society. And so they weren't even permitted here to come near unto the Lord. They had to stand afar off. The difficulty we have today with the COVID is that there are those who could be asymptomatic, and we don't know that we are carrying the virus, and therefore we wouldn't be isolating. But with the leprosy, they knew that they had the leprosy. They were able to isolate. But here was this man who was far off from the Lord. In fact, he had to shout to the Lord in verse 13. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Crying out and shouting to the Lord for mercy. The one who was afar off there from the Lord. In our text of Scripture, he's right there before the Lord. And he's at the feet now of the Lord Jesus Christ. One who is afar off is brought nigh to the Lord. Do you know, that's what the Lord has done for us in the salvation of our souls. We were far off from him. But we cried to the Lord for mercy, and the Lord heard our cry. The Lord was merciful and gracious to us, and we were brought nigh unto the Lord. How thankful we ought to be that we have received that mercy from the hand of the Lord. We can only come reverently and humbly with thanksgiving before the Lord our God. But I want you to notice here, not only do we think about the reverence and his thanksgiving with his humility, but secondly, we see the reason for his thankfulness in his healing. The reason for his thankfulness. Well, verse 14 of our Bible reading, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Now, the Lord had told them to go to the priests, but they hadn't even got as far as the priests. But the priests had no power to cleanse them or to heal them. But when you look at it closely here and you examine it, it says, as they went. In other words, as they were on their way. And the Lord had commanded them to go. Do you know, they could have looked at each other and said, well, there's no point in going to the priest. The priest has no power to cleanse us or to make us whole. The priest has only the responsibility and the role to pronounce us either clean or unclean. And they could look at themselves, they knew they were unclean. But as they obeyed the Lord's command, as they went, they were cleansed. Now the miracle took place with their act of faith. You see, that's what the Lord said in verse 19 to this man. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And to obey the command of the Lord and to go there towards the priest, as they went, they were cleansed. It's a bit like Naaman in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 5, and the message from Elisha to him was, go wash 7 times in the Jordan. And he could have said, well, what would be the point in doing that? But in the obedience, in the act of faith, he was healed. And this one man, realizing what has happened, because it says there in verse 13, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed. And so there came that realization just in that moment as they were going, that here he had been cleansed, he had been healed, he had been made whole. He realizes what the Lord has done for him. And he wants to return. And he wants to give thanks to the Lord for healing him. You know that business and going to the priests, and that of course was the practice of the Old Testament, and we learn of that in Leviticus and the chapter 14. And those who had the leprosy, if they were cleansed from the leprosy, Leviticus 14 and the verse 3 says, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, and the priest shall command that he is clean. But there was a process there. The priest had to take 2 birds at that point. And one of the birds would be slain. And the other bird would remain alive. And it's speaking about death and life. And we could carry that even to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the blood of that dead bird would be sprinkled upon the cleansed leper. And it was the blood there of sprinkling whereby he was to be pronounced clean. And surely that would speak to us of Calvary and the idea there of cleansing by the blood. And there you have a great picture and a great message of the gospel. The blood of sprinkling. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. And as John recorded in his first epistle, chapter 1 and the verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And thank God for those who have come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And we know what the Lord has done for us. We're saved, we're washed, we're cleansed, we're healed. And oh, when we realize that, we want to give thanks to the Lord. We would say, for all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him. And there's the reason for our thankfulness. Just the way this leper, this one man, would return to the Lord and he would want to give him thanks for his healing, so every saved soul. May we never lose sight of what the Lord has done for us, and may we never lose that spirit of praise and of thankfulness to the Lord. And so we can see here the reverence in his thankfulness with his humility. We see the reason for his thankfulness in his healing. But thirdly, the result of his thankfulness is seen in the honor that he gives to the Lord. You look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. A loud voice. He wants to glorify the Lord, to bring honor onto the name of the Lord. And that's the result of thankfulness to the Lord. We're ascribing unto the Lord the praise, the honor, and the glory. We're being thankful to him for all that he has done for us. Look at verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And the Lord acknowledges here that he returned to give glory to the Lord, and he unashamedly returns. To return, he had to leave the other nine. It appears that the other nine never returned. They never returned to give thanks to the Lord. They went on their way, but here's one man, and he's willing to turn aside from his company. And he's willing to turn to the Lord and to, we could say, turn back to the Lord. When you look there at the passage of Scripture in verse 15, and you see those words, turn back. He's turning back to the Lord. Just at that moment, he was making his way from the Lord, but when he realized he was cleansed, he turned back to the Lord. Maybe there's one today who's listening, and that's what you need to do. Maybe going off with the crowd that's going away from the Lord, the crowd that's taking you away from the Lord. You need to realize afresh what the Lord has done for your soul in love and in mercy. And that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to that center tree. He has suffered and bled and died on your behalf, and you today would need to turn back. Turn back to the Lord. And he has promised, of course, that he will receive the one that turns back to him. He loves the backslider. I will heal their backsliding, the Lord said. And therefore we can come and know that restoration. We can know that rejoicing again in God's so great salvation. May the devil can rob us of that joy, and the devil can take us away from the Lord. But when we're willing to turn back to the Lord, then we'll give glory to the Lord. Dishonoring the Lord and going away from him, but in turning back to the Lord, you're giving glory to the Lord. Though that we would want today to be like this one who turned back, and gave thanks to the Lord, and the result of that thanks was the Lord was honored, the Lord was glorified. Don't be like the nine who just went on their own way. Oh, that you would give glory to the Lord this day. Maybe there's one who has never been saved, and you would be far off from the Lord spiritually. Well, you could be like this leper. You could just cry to the Lord, even in the quietness of your own heart, and ask the Lord for mercy. And ask the Lord to save your soul, to heal your sin-sick soul, to forgive your sins, to cleanse your sins. You may be made ready for heaven and for home. That would give glory to the Lord today. And if you are saved, and thank God for each one that belongs to the Lord. And we would want to continually give thanks to the Lord. We could say with the words of that little chorus, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so full, so rich, and so free. May the Lord indeed give to us that thankful heart. Amen. Go on to unite our hearts together in a closing word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee for each one that has heard Thy word this day. We thank Thee, our Father, for Thy mercy toward us. And we pray that we would have that thankful heart, that we who were sometimes afar off have been made nigh by the precious blood of the Lamb. And, O Father, help us to appreciate more and more that blessed union that we have with our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grant our Father that this day Thou wouldst be pleased to go before us. Give help, O God, with the funeral services. We pray for a deep sense of the Lord's presence to be with us, and that help would be given, O God, to the family circle, that Thou wouldst comfort them and uphold them, O God, with the right hand of Thy righteousness. Right through, O God, into our gospel meeting this evening, grant our Father that Thou wouldst bless the ministry of Thy word, and that we might know, our Father, the extension of Thy kingdom in the salvation of precious souls. And now unto Him who alone is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. We ask it in the Saviour's great name. Amen.